string quartet, very often the cello plays the bass part. But when the cello gets to play sonatas and concertos, it can play quite high and brilliantly. And I think that the versatility of the instrument is one of the things that attracts so many people to it.
Dr. Stephen Gates is the professor of cello at the University of Arkansas Music Department. He graduated from Harvard with a major in psychology and received his Master of Music degree from the Yale School of Music, where he was assistant principal cellist of the New Haven Symphony. He earned his doctorate from the University of Texas, where he was the cellist in the Austin Piano Quartet.
I started playing the cello when I was 7, and I have an older sister who's 2 years older than I am, and she must have started playing the violin around the same age, 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there. And I think, honestly, my parents, both of whom were amateur musicians, thought that it might be nice if I played the cello, and they bought a little half-sized cello and sort of put it in the corner of the living room, and it worked just the way they might have wanted. I just noticed that little instrument in the corner and say, oh, gee, I'd like to play that. And they say, well, what do you know? And so I started, actually, the one thing slightly unusual, I suppose, was that I started immediately with private lessons before I was ever involved in a public school program.
As early as the late 12th and 13th centuries, artists began to depict the violin in paintings, giving testimony to its presence in the music world. The cello, however, or bass violin, did not come into existence until the 15th century. The reason for the late appearance of the deeper voice member of the violin family was, at least in part, the evolution of the sound ideal in Western European music. Due to the long-held dominance of vocal music over the musical scene, it was natural that this ideal would be determined by the trends of singers of the times. Performance practice in vocal music until the 15th century demanded a tone which was high-pitched and nasal, producing a sound we would more closely associate nowadays with Eastern music. This changed with the compositions of the Flemish school. The vocal range was expanded on the lower end, eventually reaching low C. At the same time, the sound ideal shifted to the more open-throated tone that we know today.
I think what attracts most people to the cello is simply the sound. The tessitura, the range, is actually, its functional range is larger in effect than any of the other string instruments, violin, viola, or bass. It also covers, in a way, in a very real way, from soprano to bass. You can play quite high on the cello, and you can play pretty low. And it does fulfill those sort of same roles in the orchestra. You know, if we go back to Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, Schubert, in the orchestral music, the cello, by and large, has a bass role. In fact, the double bass and the cello play the same notes, double bass an octave lower. But as we get, in particular, into the 19th century, the cello also assumes a melodic role similar to that of the French horn, actually, playing singing tunes. And so we cellists get the opportunity to do both. We don't play with the virtuosity, for example, that the violins do, but we are also not sort of relegated always to the bass part the way the basses are. I think that going on, as I say, from a sort of a musical point of view, composers love to take advantage of that versatility in the cello because, oddly enough, although its strings are pitched exactly an octave below the viola, it has a far more powerful sound.
Dr. Gates talks about the cello repertoire.
Is substantial enough to kind of keep us happy.
And the instrument's pilgrimages through the centuries.
It's not, for example, as extensive as the violin repertoire, simply because the violin, mainly, it carries better. And composers were very, very, very well aware of that. I mean, for example, we have 5 Mozart violin concertos, no Mozart cello concertos. One of the Beethoven's most glorious pieces is the violin concerto. No cello concerto. The cello does get the leading role in the Beethoven triple concerto for violin, cello, and piano, a piece that I love, but the cello is written mostly in that piece very high so it could be heard. Into the 19th century, again, we have our, what I think of as our major solo pieces. We have Dvorak concerto, Saint-Saëns concerto, Schumann, Tchaikovsky, Elgar, but not the numerous concertos that there are for violin. In the 20th century, there is a certain degree of parity. We have Shostakovich and Prokofiev, Hindemith, Ludoslavsky, Penderecki. I mean, there are lots of pieces. The solo repertoire, we have 6 solo cello suites by Bach. Then into the 19th century, for solo cello, there's a big gap. The next pieces after Bach of any significance whatsoever were by Max Reger in 1899. So that's 170 years after Bach wrote his cello suite. So the people in the 19th century, you know, were more interested, you know, you imagine Liszt, for example, you know, were much more interested in the artist as hero and all that sort of stuff. And that suited the violin and the piano better than it did the cello, it appears.
Although the cello is less common in popular music, it is featured in pop and rock recordings. In the 60s and the 70s, artists such as the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Cher, and others used it in songs. More recent bands include Nirvana, Oasis, Murder by Death, Smashing Pumpkins, James, and others. In bluegrass and folk music, the cello is becoming well known for playing it like a guitar.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people.
Dr. Gates demonstrates some of the basic traits of the instrument.
To talk a little bit about the instrument itself and to demonstrate just a little bit here, I mentioned earlier the wide range of the cello. One interesting thing that I get asked occasionally when I play for like the public school children or something is about the lowest note and the highest note. Any string instrument will have a lowest note because we play on 4 strings. And the lowest string, in our case C, 2 octaves below middle C on the piano, is the lowest note, absolutely, and that's it. There's only one piece I know of, which is a Schumann piano quartet, where at the end of the slow movement, cellist has to tune this C down to a B flat in the middle of the performance. Awkward, but Schumann did things like that. So that's our lowest note. Our highest note just keeps going and going. And theoretically, it can go quite high. Practically speaking, that's an E, 2 octaves and a major third above middle C. And that's the effective range of the instrument, which means we have effectively 4 octaves and a major third. Very, very nice. Violin, viola, and cello are all tuned in fifths. So the cello strings are in A, and this is going to go down in fifths, starting the A below middle C, A, then down a fifth to D, down a fifth to G, and down a fifth to C. By comparison, the viola strings would be A, D, G, and C. And the violin strings, as you know from before, E, A, D, and G. Bass strings are tuned in fourths. I mentioned earlier the 6 solo suites by Bach for cello. And I want to play a little bit of just the opening of the very first of these cello suites, where it seems to me Bach is sort of, in a way, answering the question or asking and then answering, sort of, what the heck is a cello? What does a cello do? So I'm going to play just a little bit and... there, what he's doing at the very beginning is simply playing two open strings and making it into a G major chord, and then doing a little figuration. The pattern is a very simple chord progression, but the point, it seems to me, is that this is something that makes the cello or allows the cello to sound like a cello because of the use of the open strings.
To hear more about his life as a cellist, his indisputable skills, and his experience with the KUAF Fulbright Summer Chamber Music Festival, visit the KUAF website at www.kuaf.com/Ozarks at Large.